just want to share just a few thoughts this morning, and it's about trust, because trust is can be one of the most challenging things for us to be able to trust God, especially when we don't see God's purpose in maybe the things that we're going through. Think about how is what I'm going through, how is God going to bring anything good out of this? I've had those times, have you? Yeah, I've had those times. Actually, when we were on holiday, we had something happen to our car, and I don't want to go into all of that, but it was a substantial bill that came, and I thought, my goodness, how are we going to manage this? And this week I've had an unexpected gift of some money that covers that bill and more. I mean, how incredible is that? Isn't God good? And nobody knew, and it isn't even, it's just God at work. Just amazing. When you're presented with a £600 bill for my car, and the garage are very good because they just sort of say, like, it's a normal thing. That would be £600. I'm like, do you realize that £600, that's quite a lot of money? Yeah, it's just, I guess they're just used to it, aren't they? But anyway, God's good. He really is. He is so good. He's so faithful. So, I put here, it's often times when character is built, going through tough times. It's often times when character is built, where priorities are established, where our true heart is revealed, and where direction is set. Sometimes we're in difficult situations, and we think, God, what are you saying? How is this going to work out? Those are the times where God truly shows us what our heart condition is like. Do you know what I mean? When we're going through tough times, through difficult. And it's those times where we need to trust God. And so I want just to play a video clip. It's just a couple of minutes. Some of you might have seen this before. A little video clip that talks about trusting God, and I'm hoping that it's just going to play. So For those of you that have done the Alpha course, as it says there, you would know, you would have seen that. True story. It's quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, I believe you can do it. Who's willing to do it? Nobody. Nobody stepped forward. Interesting, you know, the issue of trust and trusting God. And, you know, trusting God is something that we need to develop. You know, I think the mother knew the son's ability. She probably watched him go backwards and forwards, and she knew and trusted him. That's why she was willing to put her life at risk and let him wheel her across and wheel her back. And, you know, for us, trusting in God is a bit like that. In as much as we need to develop a deep relationship with God, and we need to know truly who he is. Because it's difficult to trust somebody who you don't fully know or understand. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we know this. This was one of the verses that was given to me when I was a young boy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Wow, what an amazing scripture. But you know, lean not on your own understanding. Can you all say that? It's a difficult thing sometimes to do. It can be hard to do sometimes when we think that we know what should happen, or when we think we know what we should do. But it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge him. So sometimes when we think that we know what should happen, it doesn't work out like that. You know what we're doing? We're trying to work things out in our own understanding. There are many different stories in the Bible where things happened that confounded and confused people because they were told to do things that they thought, I don't understand. But when they were obedient to God, the miracles happened. There was the story of Elisha. Do you remember that? When he told Naaman to go and dip in the river. Do you remember that story? And he said to go into the river 7 times. And Naaman said, I'm not going to do that. That's a crazy thing to do. How can dipping in the river, how is that going to heal me of my leprosy? But because it sounded foolish to him. But finally, when he obeyed what God said to do, the miracle happened. We were talking with Reuben. Reuben was reading his Bible, and he said, Dad, Abraham and killing his son. What's all that about? I mean, that's a pretty heavy-duty story, isn't it? Did that make sense to God? Did that make sense to Abraham, being told to go? And it didn't, did it? And we know the story that he was obedient, and just at the last minute, having been tested, that God saved his life. But there was a test that Abraham had to go through. And we know also when he took things into his own hands, the product of that was Ishmael. And we know of all the difficulties and the problems that there were through disobedience, just because he thought that was the right thing to do. And that's, of course, that's how God's going to work things out. So I'm going to take things into my own hands. Sometimes taking things into our own hands and doing what we think is right, because we don't want to do the thing that God tells us because that seems crazy, sometimes brings us into big problems. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We need to trust God. We need to trust that he is the best for us. Need to trust his character. Need to trust his heart for us. And I was thinking, you know, about this, the idea of Jesus being the cornerstone. And Isaiah chapter 28, 16 and 17 says these words. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone. Can you say tested stone? I'm doing a bit of my detention center today. A tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Do you see that? The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. And the cornerstone was the most important stone when they were putting a building together. It was the stone where the line was, where the lines of the buildings were drawn from. But it was also a stone that was fashioned in such a way that it could take the pressure and the weight of the building. And God is saying and speaking today, and he wants to say to you that he's the cornerstone of your life. That he is the one who is able to take the pressure. He's able to lead and guide you. He's able to give you wisdom. He's able to give you comfort. He's the one that is never going to let you down. He's the sure and steadfast presence. That people will let you down. I will let you down. Your wife will let you down. Your husband will let you down. Parents will let you down. Children will let you down. We know that we all come at some point to the end of our ability, of our humanness. But God will never, ever, 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 ever fail. He cannot, because he is supreme, because he knows the beginning from the end, because that's his nature. And I know that God has never, ever failed any of you. He cannot, because it's impossible for him to fail you. Yet sometimes we feel, if we're honest, that God has failed us. Sometimes there are situations where we think, I do not understand why this is happening to me. And sometimes it's good to kind of ask those questions, and to say, and again to encourage ourselves and to bring us back to the point of understanding that God actually is faithful, even when he looks the opposite, because he can be nothing other than true to his word. Ephesians 2 verse 19 and 21, Paul talks to the Ephesian church about how they can know God to a greater degree. And he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners nor aliens, but fellow citizens of God and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So we have a God that can never fail. Do you know that? We have a God that can never fail. Do you know it? It's easy, isn't it, when we're in this situation to say yes. Tough when we're presented with... But he can never... I want to encourage you. Maybe you're facing difficulties. Maybe you're facing challenges. God can never and never will fail you. He is totally trustworthy. And he is the one that the Bible says that is fashioned, as it were, that we can base our lives upon him. You can build your life. He's that cornerstone. You can build your life upon him. And you will look back over situations and you will say, God was faithful. I couldn't see it at the time, but he was faithful. I'm so glad I didn't give up. I'm so glad I persevered. I'm so glad I trusted in God, you know, because there is benefit and there's reward for those who trust in God. You know that? There is. You're going to be greatly rewarded for trusting in God and not giving up. And I want to encourage you in that. And so three reasons, just quickly, because I know time, I said to the guys that were running the children's work that we would be very quick today. So I'm just going to go through quickly three reasons to trust God. One reason, he's all powerful. You know these scriptures. Jeremiah 32, 27 says, behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? What's too hard? What's too big? What's too difficult? What situation, what problem can overcome God? Is there anything too hard or too big or too difficult for God to overcome? No, it's not. There's nothing. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power. That is the power that there is in the kingdom of God, far beyond what we can think or imagine. Or, you know, sometimes we put limitations upon God because we think, well, what could we do? God is more than able to deal with my little tiny life and the problems that I face, however big that they may seem. He's more than able to overcome. And he's shown me and he's proved it. And even, like I say, proved it this week. I had that big bill. Could have worried about it. Could have fretted over it. But God came through. Complete surprise. But God proved himself faithful. Isn't he an amazing God? Second reason we can trust God is because he cares. He cares. He cares. He cares. He cares for you. Isn't that amazing? He cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you. You're precious. You're of value. You're of worth. He cares. That's the reason why you can trust him. He cares for you. He says in Matthew 10, are you not worth more than the sparrows, which he takes care of? You know, he cares about the small things, but he also cares about the big things as well. I remember when I was a repair service man, I used to go around and drink coffee all day and chat to the ladies in the schools when I used to mend the photocopiers. And it seems like a different life now. But I remember going to speak to a lady and she says, I'm a Christian, but I don't think that God's really interested in the small issues of my life. So I only really bring the big issues. I said, no, that's totally untrue. He's interested in you and in every aspect of your life. The big things, the major things, but also the tiny things. If he's interested in the sparrows and cares for them. But he also talks about how he cares in Psalm 46, verse 2, God promises to protect Jerusalem, a whole city. So he's talking about a sparrow, but he's also then talking about a whole city. He's interested in the small and the big. He's interested in you. God can't love you anymore. Can't show you any greater degree of love than he's already shown you because he's given you of his best. You know, we prayed for Caleb, my son. I mean, it's a big thing to give your son, that your son may die for the sins of the world. That's a big, it's the greatest gift, isn't it? God can't show his love any greater to us, to any greater degree. He's already shown it. For God so loved the world. We know that. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Does God love you? How do you know he loves you? The truth is we know because he sent his son. Not because we may feel like it, not because we think we're worthy. The truth is that you are loved by God because God sent his son for you. So don't really care how you feel, if you believe it or not. That's the truth. And sometimes we have to say, I've been rejected. I've never felt accepted. Nobody's ever loved me. But I'm going to believe what God says because this is what the word of God says. God has shown his love to me. Therefore, I am loved. And speak that over your life. You know, getting those truths in are going to help you trust God in times of real difficulty. If you don't know that God loves you, that's a big hurdle to get over. And so I encourage you to let that be massaged into you. Let you be so full of God's love and God's acceptance that there's an assurance, there's a groundedness. Because if you know that you know that you know that God loves you, and I know that it's such a simple thing, but it's such a profound thing. Because people say, I don't know if God loves me. And part of me goes, my heart breaks with compassion for them, and the other half makes me want to slap them. Because I understand how people may not understand, but equally, the word of God is so clear about how the God has lavished his love upon us. And we see that in his most amazing gift of Jesus. He cares. Psalm 91, I'm going to speed up. Psalm 91. He cares. He promises to keep you well. He promises to keep you safe. No insurance policy can keep something from happening, but God can safeguard your life. Trust God. Trust him. Trust him because he will never let you down. He cares. God's at work to bring his promises about in your life. You know, he promises in Joshua 1, God promises us success. Isaiah 26, God promises you peace. I mean, people in the world are desperate for peace. Maybe there are people in this room here, you've never known peace. There's one thing, one person, one name that can give you peace to the very core of your being, and that is Jesus. And knowing his life and his salvation, nothing can give you peace other than having a relationship with God. God promises us stability. He promises us to provide for all of our needs, to give us enough to eat. That God will provide all that we need. Amazing promises that maybe you haven't recognized now or you know right now, but God's going to do it in your life. And I want to say, don't give up. Don't give up on the middle of the journey. Trust him. There are many, many times where God spoke about promises and people had to wait for the blessing and had to wait for those promises to be fulfilled, but they will be. I really want to encourage you in that. There was one of the things that stops us trusting in God, and I'm going to wrap up quickly, is fear. What if I trust God and he lets me down? What if I pray, or what if I step out and trust God and it doesn't work? What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, and to die. So if I live, it's for God, and my life's consumed by him. And if I die, it's gain. It's even better. So as Christians, you cannot lose. You know that. There was the story, we know. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know that, in the fiery furnace. And what did they say? What was their... Come on, Joy, preach it to me. Even if he doesn't come through, we believe our God is going to save us, but even if he doesn't come through, we know. We know that our God reigns and our God lives. We know where we're going to go to. My brother-in-law actually preached a great message when I see four. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and one like the Son of Man. That was a great preach, but I won't go there. When I see four, I see miracles. Let me just finish with it. You know, sometimes God does things, and sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't realize, but, you know, God's at work to bring glory to him. There was that story when Lazarus is sick. You know that story? And he dies, and the family come to Jesus, and they say, come. He's dead. Come, because he's dying. And Jesus doesn't come straight away. And what happens? He dies. And now the people start to say, the grumbling. I thought that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. But now Lazarus is dead. What happened? But it says that... Jesus actually delayed his coming so that the glory of God could be even more greatly revealed in that situation. So sometimes the situations that we're going through, it doesn't happen in our timing. But don't give up. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be a complainer. Don't start to not trust or step out of trusting God because things don't happen. God's at work in your life. If you're a Christian here, and you've dedicated to your life, God's at work in your life. He's in a process. There's something that God is working in you to bring around something that's going to glorify his name. And I say as well, you know, respectfully, if you're not a Christian here or you're on a journey, you're exploring what faith is, I'd encourage you, don't give up. Press on in to find the truth. Press on in to find this intimate relationship with God that we've been talking about today, about how we can know him as Father, not just knowing about God, but actually knowing him in a life-transforming way. Just to finish then, Matthew 25 says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to be trusted. You're going to be rewarded for trusting him and being faithful. It doesn't say there, good, honest, smart, anointed, or punctual, does it? What does it say? Well done, good, and well done, good, and faithful servant. There's something about faithfulness, trusting God, even when things look confusing, that we know, that we know, that we know. Somehow, some way, God's going to bring something beautiful, wonderful. Somehow, God's going to bring a testimony. I didn't realize that I was going to be able to stand up here when I was talking last week with the guy in the garage and saying, how is it possible I've got to pay you all of this money, that I'll be standing up a week later giving a testimony of how God provided. But he did. God's at work. So faithfulness. It seems to be one of our biggest challenges, being faithful to do God's will, even when we don't understand why. And even despite our own understanding. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Trusting God. So there's no plan B with God. And I want just to leave you with this. Don't let these words, what if it doesn't work? Don't let that be your confession. Don't let that be your thinking process. What if this doesn't work? Don't let that even come into the equation. The devil will try to remind you when things didn't work, but I want to encourage you. Quote the scripture. Quote scriptures to him. Quote scriptures about how God wants to release promises into your life. Keep trusting that he is going to do what he said he will do. Amen? God needs his church to be strong. And I know several of you are going through various challenges, and I say this as an encouragement. Trust in him.